pray together and then we'll start. Father, we thank you that you provide the church with your word. Your word gives us insight into who you are and then also, Lord, who we are. Well, Lord, we thank you that we have tools like what we're about to learn about our heart motives, what drives us, what's inside of us. And I pray, oh Lord, that the material that I teach this morning would be helpful to my brothers and sisters here today and to our church. Lord, we ask that you would guide us, guide me, Lord, help me to be insightful and clear as I teach this for the first time for our Open Door Community Church. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is Heart Motives, and this is material that I was first exposed to probably like 5 years ago. And just when I first heard it, I was a little bit skeptical. I found it helpful. It was during a pastor's retreat. It was at Lake Tahoe, which is a very beautiful location. And there was only a few pastors there, but Pastor Min Chung, pastor in Chicago, he was a speaker there, and he taught the material. He's been using this material for about 20-some years. He's developed it, and the basis of it actually comes from CCEF, Christian Counseling Education Foundation. But he developed it and honed it, in particular, built upon that foundation of the theology, and then applying it to, and this might be an underestimate, but tens of thousands of people, actually. He's applied it, and he's trained his whole pastoral staff with it. I was exposed to it, and then we've met a number of the CFC people, even last year we had our guest speaker David Kang. He's from CFC, and he's been trained in this as well. This was really interesting as we were driving up from the airport. So it's like, what is it, 2 hours? It's like a 2-hour drive. You know what we talked about for 2 hours? Heart motives. It was just like analyzing my heart. And he wasn't like, okay, we're going to do heart motives on you. But it was more along the lines of we were talking about things that we may have been struggling with. And then it just naturally progressed to this topic. And every time that I've interacted with it, I found it extremely helpful. And my wife and I, we've been talking a great deal about this subject as well. I've tried to analyze her heart. So she's sitting right in the back. Her response was, it's remarkable how accurate and how deep that I was able to understand her. And I think that this is helpful on a personal level, that you can understand yourself. And it's helpful on the level of understanding another person. And I think it's extremely helpful for counseling marriages. It's counseling through interpersonal conflict. I think it's extremely helpful if you understand yourself and you understand the other person. So, some introduction, Pastor Kide. And then if you move to introduction, the next page. So what is heart motives? Heart motives is basically a tool. It's a theory. If you disagree with what I present, that's fine. The foundation you won't disagree with, because the foundation is biblical, and the foundation is based upon theology that we all would agree upon. But some of the developments you may not agree upon, that's fine. But I do think that it can be very helpful, even if you may disagree with some of the particulars of it. But again, the purpose is that we might grow in our relationship with God and that we can understand our sins more clearly. And if we understand ourselves and our sins more clearly and understand what is the source of our desires, then we can actually repent better. Rather than just say, oh, I repent for such and such that I did, but to understand, like, why did I do this thing? And then to trace it back to the source, and then to be able to repent not just for the external things that I did, but the reasons why I did it. It's really helpful to understand ourselves better, and then we can redeem our desires to please God. And so heart motives tries to explain the why of everything that we do. It doesn't explain the what of everything that we do, but it explains the why of everything that we do. So the what that you do lots of things in your life, but what heart motives explains is the source of that. Why did you do what you did? And it's fascinating that when you understand at the very root of who you are, you can begin to understand why you do what you do and why others do what they do. Next question is it biblical? Now, as we go through the particulars of this system, of this theory, what you'll find is that there's not a single verse in Scripture that teaches that there are these heart motives. But as we draw from the biblical principles and biblical implications, it'll become much clearer that, in fact, this is built upon biblical foundations. What is the purpose of heart motives? The purpose of heart motives is to help you to become more like Jesus Christ. And it's for you to help others to become more like Jesus Christ. And it's so that ultimately you might repent and redeem of your heart motives and help others as well, so that you might turn it into God-honoring motives. One other thing I want to quickly say, as we become more familiarized with this and maybe some of the vocabulary that we might begin to implement, it's very important that we do not label people. And I have to catch myself. And it's important that we don't judge people and we don't pigeonhole people as we begin to analyze heart motives. Because I think it's very easy to do that. I think this might strike some of you like one of those entertaining psychological tests like Briggs-Myers or a DISC or something. And you might actually have fun trying to like say, oh, I think this person is this heart motive or that heart motive. And I think that that can be a very dangerous way. I think that it's a helpful tool, but it should not be used to label people or to judge people. So to be very careful about that. Why should I learn heart motives? It's a resource. It's a resource for your spiritual life. If you understand heart motives, then you will understand much better how to please God. You will know how to live for God, and it will help you to understand yourself better, and it will help you to understand others better. So you might ask questions like, I told myself I would never do that. Why did I do that? Or you look at someone and you say, why in the world did that person do that? It boggles my mind. Like, why did that person do that? I don't understand this person. This person's like an alien. You know, like, I really don't understand. But then once you begin to understand heart motives, you're like, wow, it makes perfect sense why they did it. So it's very helpful. All right, so we're going to look at Roman numeral 1, or Roman numeral 2, I guess. Why is the heart so important? So first of all, the heart is important because it explains how we please God. And we'll find in Scripture this language of heart all throughout. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Actually, one other verse is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see there that God looks beyond the surface, and God sees our heart. And the other verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, says, but the Lord said to Samuel, addressing King David before he became king, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on David's appearance or on the height of his stature. He was apparently shorter. Because I have rejected him, referring to Saul. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outer appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so we see that God values not the outer things, but the heart. And what's important to God is our heart. People tend to look at the outer things, but God looks at the heart. And our heart, if our heart is right before God, our heart is what pleases God. And why is that? Because the heart is where everything else flows out. It's the source of why we do anything in our lives. It explains who I am. That's the second. And so Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. This is also in Matthew chapter 15 as well. Very similar. But Mark chapter 7 says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. So all of these things that we do, it flows out of our heart. And so it's a much clearer understanding. If we can understand our heart, then we can understand these things that flow out from our heart. It also helps us to understand who others are. And so, again, if you've ever wondered, like, why in the world does that person do that? That makes no sense. Well, it makes perfect sense to them because it comes out of their heart. And I think it helps to explain other people. It helps us to understand them, and then it helps us to love them. We can truly love them. We can help people by understanding the heart motives better. And then finally, it explains our eternal reward. Because if we're able to know our heart motives more clearly, then we're able to fight our heart motives, and also we're able to redeem our heart motives. And if we're able to do that, then we're able to love God and love others more effectively, and that will lead to eternal consequences, positive consequences. We're not called to be perfect. None of us can be perfect, but we are called to grow. We're called to fight our sins. And so if we're able to fight our sins effectively, rather than just fight generally, oh, forgive me for my sins, parentheses, whatever that means. You know how you talk to your children sometimes and you say sorry, and it's like, I'm sorry, but they don't even know what they're sorry about. Like sometimes we repent for our sins. Lord, I am so sinful. I don't even understand why I'm sinful, but I am so sinful. Forgive me for my sins, and we kind of move on. But it becomes much more effective to say, Lord, I can trace my sin all the way to the very core. I can understand where this sin is coming from. Forgive me for this sin. We can fight that sin, which will lead to eternal consequences. All right, so let's move on then with those introductory comments about what is heart motives to some foundational things. This is more of the theological foundation, okay? And so this our theology, we talk about the theology of total depravity. Total depravity, what does that mean? It means that we are totally depraved, totally sinful. And this condition of total depravity does not mean that we are as sinful as we potentially could be. You know, we're not running around murdering people, or, you know, running around and stealing things out of people's pockets and you know, screaming like mad people, right? But what do we, a lot of times, we look nice, like nice people. But what does it mean to be totally depraved? It means that at the root of our being, everything flows out of our heart, and therefore it taints everything that we do. So even though things that we do may look good, it's tainted by sin. And that's the meaning of total depravity. And this is a condition that has been with us since the very beginning, from Adam. And we see Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, that for God knows that when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so your heart motive flows out of this total depraved condition where you want to be like God. You want to replace God. You want to be God in your own life. You want to sit upon the throne, not God. And from the very beginning, Adam and Eve sought to replace God, sought to be the king of their own lives. And so they didn't want to listen to God. They chose to listen to their own desire. And ever since Adam, all of us, we have had the sin condition. We've been born with it. And Romans chapter 8 describes what this heart condition looks like. It says, for the mind that is set on the flesh, and the flesh can be also called sinful nature. ESV uses the word flesh, but NIV and other translations would use sinful nature, and they're interchangeable in this case. For the mind that is set on the flesh, that sinful nature, is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we've been infected by this sin. We were infected by the sinful nature. And because of that, we're always rebelling against God's will. Our default mode is to be hostile to God. And so we therefore cannot please God. And how depraved is our sinful nature? It's totally depraved. And that's according to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, my sinful sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So fundamentally, there is a brokenness, there is a flaw inside of us. It's built into our very DNA. We were born with it. So, but the good news is that all humanity is born with sin and a sinful nature. But when you become a Christian, the wonderful thing is that there is a new birth. There is a sinful nature inside of you, but there is a new nature that is born within you. We call this regeneration, the new birth. And so you see the diagram there that on the right side, that's the natural condition that we were born with because we're descendants of Adam. And then you have on the other side a new birth, the spirit's nature. We have the sin nature, but then we have the spirit's nature. And out of the spirit's nature is the fruit of the spirit. And so Galatians chapter 5 is very helpful because it describes the two natures that are in conflict with each other. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 22, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So you see there are two heart motives competing against each other, two natures that are in conflict. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see there that there are the two desires: the desire of flesh, desire of the Spirit, the sinful nature and the Spirit's nature. And then you see what comes out of that, the works of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh, in Galatians 5:19. And then in 5:22, you see the fruit of the Spirit. So out of the desires, these two competing desires, come all the fruit. One of the great implications is that if we repent, that basically we're fighting against this sinful nature. And if we're effective in fighting the sinful nature, that it can actually produce, it can destroy the fruit of the flesh. So if you go back to the diagram real quick. So what's very wonderful about this is that if we fight the desires of the flesh, then the fruit of the flesh, all these things that we do, will die. And this can lead to real life change. You know, like I think many people, they want to change. And some things are maybe more trivial than the other. But if you think about it, like at the beginning of every year, people commit to, you know, I want to lose weight, or I want to do, it's like so hard to change. It's so hard to not do the things that we usually do, right? And if it's so hard to stop sinning, right? But if we learn how to fight on the heart level, that there can be genuine real change. And then as we repent of this side and redeem so that we cultivate that side, there can be fruit of the Spirit. All right, so having said that, let's move to the fourth point then. This is where, based upon the biblical theological foundations, we develop an understanding that this is where the heart is the source of everything that we do, and the why of why we do everything. And now we want to zoom in, almost like X-ray, right? We want to be able to really identify what am I motivated by? What is at the source of my heart? And so there's this theory that's been developed. So the theory, if you want to look at the next point, it says it's called the four wide, one deep theory. It's referred to four wide, one deep because it's referring to these four categories of heart motives that basically summarize every heart motive in the whole world. That as the theory goes, that these four heart motives explains the heart motives of 8 billion people on Earth, and so it's wide. Four wide. These four cover the whole every human being, and one deep is referring to the fact that out of these four, one in particular explains the heart motive of each human being. So four wide, one deep. The one deep is referring to the fact that out of these four, there is one heart motive that explains what you do. It's what you were born with. And it's as the theory goes, it'll be the heart motive until the day that you die. We don't flip-flop between these heart motives, but we're born with this heart motive, and it continues to be our heart motive. And going back to what we read from Genesis chapter 3, where if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. This desire to be like God is expressed in these four ways. Because these are the four expressions of how man desires to be God. And so there's a chart there, and I'll go through that chart in a moment. But what are these four expressions as it relates to God? So next page, you'll see, or the next slide, you'll see, just as God is to be worshipped, I desire to be honored. I desire to be worshipped instead. I desire to be honored and respected. Just as the fame of God's name is to be spread all over the world, I desire to be famous and to be liked by as many people as possible. Just as God is to be loved and adored, I desire to be loved and adored by my chosen few. Just as God's law should be obeyed, I desire for my own standards to be obeyed, to be perfectly obeyed. So these are the four categories. And so we can use very easy to remember mottos. So if you go to the next slide, the four expressions of heart motives is respect me, like me, love me, and perfect me. And you can more easily remember these four heart motives by these four terms. Respect me, like me, love me, perfect me. And respect me is really a worship idolatry. And instead of God being worshipped, I want to be worshipped. And so the easy way to remember these is also by means of orientation. And so respect me can be understood as being above other people. The next one is like me. And this is a fame idolatry. I want to be known and I want to be liked by as many people as possible. I want to be popular. And this can be understood by the spatial orientation of being wide. You wanna spread out. So one, respect me would be above. Like me is you want to go wide. Then the third is love me. And a love me is a love idolatry. I want to be loved. I want to be appreciated more than anyone else in your life. This is not worldwide, but this is for those few particular people in your life that are that are your chosen ones. And as long as they love you, you're fine, you're happy. And this is a deep orientation. It's about how deep this person, that these people will love you. And then perfect me is a law idolatry. And so it sounds a little similar to respect me, but perfect me is, it's not even about I want to be above everyone else, but I want everyone to follow my rules. And in fact, I'm not even above my own rules. Like, I must submit to my own rules, this law, this system. And so it's a law idolatry, and you can think of that as high. But perfect me is the most interesting and the most complex. And so I'm saving that for last. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to devote one class time to each of these four and to go more deeply into each one of them. And we'll understand them much better. And perfect me is almost like, these are almost like 1A, 1B, 1C, and then perfect me is like a little, like very different. But, and then one other thing, so let's move on to the next slide. These four heart motives can be expressed in layers. And so, again, it's a four wide, one deep theory, and as it goes, one of these applies to you. That one of these is your heart motive. It's what drives and motivates you in everything that you do in your life. And these can be expressed in these two layers. And so it can be expressed as a success layer, or it can be expressed as failure layer. And so it's very interesting how these four heart motives are expressed in your life, whichever one of them happens to be your heart motive, that it finds its expression based upon whether you perceive that you are in either success layer or failure layer. So in other words, your heart, one of the images that I have in my mind as I think about heart motives is it's kind of like a wild animal. It's this, and I'm sorry that, you know, I'm using that kind of negative image, but you have this thing inside of you that is hungry. Your heart motive is hungry. Your heart motive wants to eat. And your heart motive will seek to eat based on the one of the four groups. It's the food. So if you're a love me, you want to be loved by those, you don't care about everyone in the world. What you care about is like those few particular people in your life that you particularly deem important. And these are the people in your inner circle. And you must be loved by them. Your heart hungers for that. And so if you're a success layer, that means that you have those people in your life, and that they do love you. Maybe as a love me, if you're a love me and you're married, and your spouse adores you, your spouse always tries to figure out ways to love you by either spending tons of time with you, always going on vacations with you, always pouring, you know, always buying gifts for you. And because you're a love me that feeds your heart, then you're a success layer. But you might be a failure layer where you so want that love and you're not receiving it. And so you what do? You fight. Love me, and the person won't. And then you pout, and the person still won't love you. And you do positive and negative things, and no matter what you do, this person won't love you. Then you enter into failure layer, where you may try to find it from other things, like a friend, but then you can't get it from a friend. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants to be with you. That's why you get a dog, right? But then like your dog runs away from you. And so you're in a failure layer, like, and what happens is that you'll begin to compensate for that. And then maybe you'll start eating a lot. And so in failure layer, you see things like depression, or you'll see things like addictions. Because what are you doing? You're trying to receive that love from drugs or from alcohol or from food or from something else, because your heart is starving. So success and failure layer, and we'll go through each of these. What does this look like for each of the heart motives? And then express to minor heart motives. So minor heart motives, so for example, if you're a love me heart motive as a major heart motive, that's the one deep for you. But you're in failure layer, then your minor heart motive can be a way to compensate. Or your heart motive is love me, but the way you get love is by being a very, very respectable person, right? Like, for example, maybe you're a love me and your parents are your inner circle. And so you want love from your parents. And the way that your parents will love you is that you're successful. So then your minor might be respect me. Does that make sense? You're a love me, but your minor is a respect me, and you seek to achieve your major heart motive through a minor heart motive. It gets very complex, but hopefully it'll become clear as we digest it more over the coming weeks. It depends on our situation and our phase in life. And so if you grow up in a Korean society where hierarchy is everything, it's very common to see respect me as a very common minor for your major heart motive. Does that make sense? Because that's the environment so if you could be a white person and then you're born in Korea and then you grow up in Korea, you learn how to get your heart motive through that minor heart motive of respect. Okay, anyway. And then minors are generally stronger when your major is in failure layer. Finally, the goal of heart motives. What is the point of all this? Again, it's not to label people. Haha, I know what your heart motive. You are a like me. And I don't like me, so ha-ha-ha, you know. It's not the point. This is not a game, right? Well, what's the whole point of heart motives? Is that you can understand yourself better. Why do I do what I do? Why do others do what they do? And to come to a deeper understanding in order that we might repent, because our heart motive in its essence is trying to replace God. And so when we understand our heart motive better, what is it that drives what I do? Then I can repent of it, and then I can go into a deeper relationship with God. Then I can redeem. You know, you ask questions like, our church tells you all the time, we should glorify God. And then you say, you reply, maybe in your own mind, I want to glorify God, but tell me how to glorify God. What do I do? Well, if you understand your heart motive, you can repent of your heart motive, and you can redeem that heart motive, and then you can love God and love others with pure heart motives rather than sinful heart motives. And you can glorify God through that. So, how to detect your heart motive? So the goal is that you want to detect your heart motive, and this is a helpful tool, and I have just a few minutes left, so I can only, but thankfully, I have a handout here that is titled How to Detect Someone's Heart Motive, so hopefully this will help you since we have limited time. But the sum of it, and this is the most helpful question. And you know, I was telling you that as I was hanging out with Pastor Min Chung, who developed this, and hanging out with his CFC pastors, this is the first question they ask me every single time. On a scale of 1 to 10, name a situation where you felt an emotional intensity of a 9 or a 10. Think about the past month. Can you think of something that happened this past month where the scale hit a 9 or a 10 on the emotional intensity? And it could be any emotion. Generally, it's negative emotion. It's like, did you feel anger on the level of a 9 or a 10? Emotions are so helpful to identify heart motives. You know why? Because you're not getting what you want. Your heart motive is not getting what it wants. And so what is the result? Your emotions will come out. And I use this illustration of emotions. Emotions are like the check engine light on your dashboard, that you don't see your engine, right? Your car is not transparent, right? So you can't see inside the engine, but the car will signal to you that something is wrong in the engine, and so the engine light, check engine light will pop out. Your check engine light of your heart motive are your emotions. That when your emotions come out on a scale of 1 to 10, a 9 or a 10, it indicates that there is something going on there. And so you can ask questions. Okay, this is what happened last month. I really felt a very, very, or it could be, I felt so happy. I was walking on cloud 9. Why were you happy? I got promoted. Most of us would say, okay, that's understandable. No, but some people don't care that they get promoted. Some people actually prefer not to get promoted. But then you have to ask, why did I get so happy? Why was I not a 5? Like, everyone would be happy, but why was I a 9 or 10? Or why did I get so angry? This person said something. And you're like, well, of course I would get angry at that. But someone else might look at you and say, no one else gets angry at that. Only you get angry at that. Why are you so angry? It's understandable, like when your child talks back to you, and then like there's steam literally coming out of your head, right? Why does that rub you the wrong way? As opposed to your spouse, where it doesn't seem to faze them. Like, child talks back, yeah, they get a little upset, but then you, it's like the world is ending. Why? Why is that? So these are signals. When your emotions hit a 9 or a 10, the check engine light is coming on. And then it's time to explore that. And then knowing is half the battle. Once you identify your heart motive, then you want to repent of your heart motives. Knowing is half the battle. That's the very famous wise saying that comes from G.I. Joe. Knowing is half the battle. And so it's not enough just to know your heart motive, but you have to actually fight your heart motive. That's the whole point. If you just know your heart motive and say, well, I'm a love me, so deal with it. That's not, then you're totally missing the point and you're totally misusing this. Once you identify it, you have to fight it and then put it to death and then redeem it. So you serve God and others with holy motives by avoiding your sinful heart motives and then turning your heart motives into a strength, which I'll explain more as we get to it. We have to end now, but maybe a final question that maybe I can answer quickly, something that was unclear or something that you, or maybe something that you would like to explore more deeply at a future study. Hope it was clear then. But yeah, we'll dig deeper, and then maybe as you start to get deeper into this, and I'm sure all of you are thinking, well, I don't know, I can't read your mind, but I'm assuming that you're thinking about yourself. It's like, I wonder which heart motive is mine. The first time I heard this, I thought I was all of them. I was like, they all fit me. But then I began to realize, no, I think I've minored in all of them at certain points in my life. And I'll share more, but I believe I'm a perfect me. And I'll explain more about that. But
Can you review that 4 wide and 1 deep again?
So it's just a theory that says that these 4 categorize every human being on Earth. And so that's the wide. The 1 deep is that out of the 4, only 1 characterize you. That's the theory. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've got a start on this. Lord, we're beginning to understand this teaching of heart motives, this teaching that draws out from your word, this tool that helps us to analyze our hearts, why we do what we do. I pray, O Lord, that you would aid us, because this is not easy. It's not easy sometimes because our hearts are often deceitful. And also, Lord, it can be painful that, Lord, as our hearts are exposed, that we don't like what we see. Lord, I pray that you would help us to gain clarity about who we are and why we do what we do. And we pray that we would not just know, but we would have strength to fight. And Lord, I pray that this would lead to repentance and greater Christ-likeness in our lives. Pray that Open Door would be equipped. As a church, Lord, we would be more effective in loving one another and helping one another to grow in Christ. Be with us, Lord, as we continue to meet with you today, to worship you as we go into worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.